was recorded on the 22nd of June, 1967, from Ian Leicester Street.
Nice to see you.
It's very nice to hear you.
Are you all well?
Yes, thank you.
I suppose you've come to talk to your husband.
Yes, please.
I bet you've got a few questions to ask him.
Yes, rather.
He was a case, wasn't he?
You always get on very well with him, Mickey.
Oh, yes, I like him. He's got a dry sense of humour.
Yes.
And he certainly changed his tune.
Yes.
Well, you know, he's had to. I mean, people do. I mean, he realises many things now, obviously, he didn't understand before. And I think he would love everyone to understand this, and it might make a difference to them, wouldn't it?
It would, yes.
I mean, people got these old-fashioned ideas about hell and heaven and purgatory and all that lark, you know.
I think it's passing now, though, Mickey.
Well, I think, quite frankly, the vast majority of people are not interested in religion. I should imagine a good 95% of people are sort of, well, couldn't care less about it. The churches have killed themselves, it's their own fault.
I must have done many times, average
of your life in regard to situation or scenery or aspect, but without all the drawbacks or the disabilities. I mean, we have gorgeous, wonderful countryside. We have all the pleasures of life that are of a mental and spiritual quality or nature. In other words, it's like your world in some respects, with all the disadvantages and all the grosser and lesser aspects of human life removed.
That would be in the
yes,
nearer.
Well, that is, of course, to some extent, a condition of life which is not so far removed from Earth. It's as if a person might be transplanted into a world not unlike in some respects to Earth, that is from the point of view of nature, natural beauty, natural surroundings, without the artificialities created by man, without any of the disadvantages which material life, by its very nature, makes common usage. I mean, the point is that how can we begin to depict this life, which in some respects is so far removed?
Yes.
I mean, for instance, we have great vast buildings, which I'm sure you've spoken, great libraries, for instance, where millions upon millions of books are housed, and anyone who is interested can, if they so wish, read these books.
Is that in your new environment?
No,
you're speaking of the past.
Because in a more advanced state of being, it wouldn't be necessary to read, for instance.
Yes.
It wouldn't be necessary to have a book to read. You would be able to register, as it were, one's mental side in such a way that, for instance, you could read a book without actually having a book in your hand, without actually reading it. You could read it by the process of thought. In other words, the more advanced you become, the more you can be tuned in to individuals who, when on Earth, and probably still are on this side, for instance, writers. There again, when one talks about writing, one assumes the person sits down and writes. And of course, you know, on Earth, the book is printed. But the point is that here, it is as if one can tune into the mind of the individual, and you can read their thoughts in the form of a narrative or the form of a book, if you like. I mean, for instance, the Dickens, taking an example. Although there are libraries here in which all his books exist, and others that he has written, it is possible in a more advanced state of being to be able to tune in to the thought forces of the author and see the picturization, almost like looking at a moving picture on a screen, of the whole of the book. In other words, the peoples, the characterization, and the plot and everything. But you see, this is a form of reading, but it's reading of the mind,
yes,
not reading of the written page.
Yes, of course.
What I think one should remember is that nothing of any real consequence in the field of art or the field of human endeavor, which is of any high order, is ever lost. The only things that are lost as you progress are the lesser things, the things that are by their very nature unimportant and have no spiritual significance. Anything which has been achieved by man that has real significance, whether it is in art or literature or in music, exists in this world in a more perfect state. And indeed, great artists, great composers and so on still create over here in their own environment, but not necessarily under the same, well, obviously not under the same conditions, but not necessarily with the same For instance, an artist can create a picture without necessarily using the palette and the brush. Now, this may sound most strange, and one could hardly assume that it could be a picture as such performed by an artist or created by an artist, but the more advanced souls, by the process of thought, can transmit
onto what we would call a canvas, to all appearances, all the colour and all the beauty and all the line and so on that is within their thought force, which normally on earth they'd have to use paint and brushes and so on. And you see, we learn how to control thought forces to a certain extent that they can be, in a sense, harnessed and brought into shape, into form. This is where we come to this problem, as I said earlier on, of depicting or describing. For instance, a person may have a house over here which they've merited, which they have progressed to, which they've even, to some extent, you might say, helped to build. Although other people have been involved in this, architects and designers and so on, who all play their part, and working as we do in perfect love and cooperation, everyone here is anxious to give of themselves for the benefit of others. And so you find vast cities or vast places where millions of people can congregate and do congregate, but the whole character of a place is so artistic and so beautiful and beautifully laid out and planned, and every house has its individual personality and character according to the individuals who live therein and the people who've assisted them in the creation. And an artist may have a desire to assist someone in some particular sense of creating for them some picture or picturization or some scene or some experience, and will do this willingly of their own free will and desire to decorate, for instance, the home of a friend or the home of people that they admire or like very much. And the whole sequence of events here is that everything is brought into being in a gradual sense. You don't suddenly, for instance, inhabit a new environment until such time as you've gone through certain experiences that have made it possible for you to be a partaker of it. And in consequence, you are yourself sometimes, in a sense, almost unconsciously preparing your new home while you're living in one already,
yes,
on a different sphere.
I see. Have you met any very interesting people in your new environment?
I have met untold.
I meant in your new environment.
Yes, I know. I have met innumerable selves.
You knew selves on earth, yes.
Many, of course, some that I knew on earth, but many, many, many selves that I could never have met on earth, because we were divided by centuries of time.
Oh, yes.
And great selves over here who have been here for centuries, who have progressed to a very high state of being, and some of these souls enter into different spheres to lecture and to assist and to guide others who are less fortunate, who have not progressed as far as themselves. And of course, in consequence, I have seen and met and listened to many very great souls. I mean, great artists, great musicians, great souls who, when on earth, endeavor to reform and bring in reformation or bring in new thought and new ideas that would benefit men. The people that one meets over here that have really progressed are particularly people who, by the very sensitivity of their nature, even when on earth, endeavor to give themselves freely and absolutely in love and in service to humanity in some shape or form. Maybe that in some it was with their musical talent or ability, with others their artistic integrity and the reproduction of wonderful thoughts onto canvas. It may be, of course, others who worked in social ways in their particular country to bring about a better understanding between people and give better conditions for people who are unfortunate. I've met so many, many souls who, when on earth, were in all walks of life.
Yes, must be tremendously interesting, dear. I wondered if for your second book the title Chapters of Experience would be all right.
Of course, yes.
Seems rather a nice title, isn't it? Don't
you
think?
Yes.
Chapters of Experience.
Yes.
It came to me last night. I don't know whether you gave it me. I was thinking it all over.
Yes, I was. Of course, again, of course, this is feasible, and quite rightly, quite naturally, that one's interpretation, for instance, certain things that I may, in my own fashion, endeavor to impress you with or inspire you with in the process of inspiration, you may receive the matter, subject matter, but not necessarily always receive exactly what one wants. I mean, I find this very difficult, this whole business of, course, this is a world, as I've said, where we communicate entirely by thought processes, and in endeavouring to communicate with you, I'm constantly in touch with you, constantly in tune, as it were, and in consequence, you're obviously at times receiving my thoughts, impressions. But there again, we must always be aware of the fact that in this process, there are moments and times when some confusion can enter, or perhaps some soul who is near Earth can also be at the same time endeavouring to concentrate some thought. And there is occasional confusion.
I do
but
understand.
I think that you do extremely well.
I'm so
actually,
glad.
I know that you do, and I know that you receive a tremendous amount accurately from me mentally. But of course, you have to make allowances. You have to realize that it's not always a clear channel.
No, I do understand.
I mean, even if I come and talk to you like this, there are times when it's much more difficult than others, and of course, one must ever be conscious of the real and realize that there are thousands of people anxious and desire to communicate, and sometimes when they see the opportunity presented to someone like myself, they are eager and anxious, and sometimes their thoughts are very strong, and they can, not intentionally, but can sometimes quite unconsciously, I was going to say, get in the way, you know.
Yes.
One has to try to keep a channel as clear as possible.
Yes. Are you going to tell me of another incarnation?
Yes, I will some other time.
Next time, perhaps.
Because this incarnation...
Well, this book, you see, is chapters of experience, dear, and you've told me such wonderful things about six incarnations.
Well,
I think if I had one more...
I hope to be able to. Of course, there again, this is where we come again to the process of thought control. It's getting onto the certain wavelength or vibration, which would be in association with that particular incarnation.
I quite see,
and receiving back, as it were, past memory and thought, which could make it possible to clarify and give you instances or experiences from it. You know, I mean, it's very difficult. You know, when you're living, as I am, on a certain plane of consciousness, which has become natural to one, to suddenly break off, even for what you would term a small amount of time, to get onto some past material life.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, when I come down to you, I've now become, I think, fairly good at communicating, but when you say to me, oh, now, can you get onto a vibration, or can you receive some messages or concern yourself with some previous incarnation?
Yes.
I have to break off.
I didn't mean not.
I realize that. The only way that one can successfully do that is to prepare oneself for it in advance.
Yes.
And to get as much information as one can by tapping this older wavelength, this old vibration, which has become over time itself very dim. You know, it's...
Well, would you like to, or would you prefer not to?
Oh, no, it's not that I don't want to. I'm quite happy to do it, especially if I can do it successfully. But sometimes I feel that it's the merest, sketchiest outline, and it has little or no substance. In other words, I feel that unless I can get the substance, then it's valueless.
I see, yes. But you've done awfully well up to now.
I shall continue always to do what I can. I shall continue always to assist and to help you as best I can. You know that.
Yes, thank you very much.
It's been a great joy to come and talk to you, and I'm glad you're back home again.
Yes, I'm hoping to come back.
We can resume our communications fairly regularly, I hope, for the coming months during the summer.
I hope so, yes.
Anyway, I must go. But all my love and a big hug and kiss. Bless you.
Same to you, darling.
Bye
bye. Wonderful.
God bless.
Wasn't it fascinating?
Marvelous, yes.
Bye-bye, Mickey. Thank you for your help.
Yes, he does very well.
Yes.